So today I want to talk about the power of thanks or the power of gratitude. Luke 17:11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And so it was as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." I want to repeat this, what Jesus said. Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Let me read to you the following 9 suggested reasons why 9 did not return. One waited to see if the cure was real. One waited to see if it would last. One said he would see Jesus later. One decided that he had never had leprosy. One said he would have gotten well anyway. One gave the glory to the priest. One said, "Oh well, Jesus didn't really do anything." One said, "Any rabbi could have done this." One said, "I was already much improved." Some people live in a war-torn nations. We live in a soul-torn nation. We're the richest nation in the world, yet we are the most soul-torn nation in the world. This is from the Surgeon General Report on Mental Health. Current estimates is that 20% of U.S. population, the richest country in the world, people who have everything, 20% of U.S. population are affected by mental disorders during a given year. One study have found that 81.5% of people in Manhattan, New York, had signs and symptoms of mental disorder. 15% of those people could not function. Out of those 81%, 15% couldn't function in society, meaning they couldn't work and function. The rest still could cope with life. So based on this study, it shows that many people in our nation suffer with mental illnesses of some sort. Maybe you know people in your life who suffer with mental illnesses. Maybe you are suffering with some kind of a stress disorder or mental disorder or whatever disorder you're suffering with today. Maybe you still can cope with life. Maybe nobody knows about it. But there's people, I guarantee here, that are suffering with some mental illness. Medical journal predicted that the greatest disease of the future will be mental disorders. Mental disorders are climbing higher and higher. If you want to get into any profession, it would be into psychology, because that will be one of the most needed practices in our country. Now, other people in other nations suffer mental illnesses too. But if we look at our nation, the most richest, the most developed, the most intellectual, the most comfortable nation to live in the world, we have too many people. If it's 20% of U.S. population are affected by mental disorders during a given year. Why does this happen? It has something to do with our topic today, okay? God said this: "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." If any Christian people should be enjoying good mental health. We have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of God. We have the peace of God, the joy of the Lord. We have all the benefits, all the tools available for us to enjoy a great mental health, a healthy mental health. But for some reason, many Christians suffer also mental health sicknesses. Jesus said this, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Christians, if anybody, we don't need to be suffering with mental illnesses. God wants to bring wholeness. God wants to bring prosperity to our spirit, soul, and body. Many mental illnesses come from drained batteries. So if you wouldn't feed your physical body, you would drain it and you would become weak. And then when you become weak, if you don't feed it, you could die. Now the soul is the same way. There are certain things that drain our soul. That's why David says, He restores my soul. How many of you know that we need as Christians, as believers in God, we need restoration of our souls? Now, what makes our soul be drained? Now, you would think that we have cars, fast cars. We have quick microwaves and food and whatever we want. You would think that we would have more time. Yet, the life of people are so stressed out. There's so much going on. And I believe this is the spirit of the world who makes people so busy where they don't have time to meditate. Meditation is how you restore your soul. Now, second thing, how you restore your soul is through the fellowship of believers. When you come to church, your soul is restored. That's why some people who've committed crimes, they go into the Catholic church or they go into this, they sit there and they get restored. Just being in the place is already a mental restoration. But imagine fellowshipping, imagine worshiping God. Especially if you have a high stressful life, you really need to take advantage of the church. When you come, you don't need to say, I don't like worship, so I won't worship. I won't give thanks to God because, you know, it's not my thing singing. I will receive the word. Yes, during the word, your soul gets restored. It gets fed up. Your mind is being renewed during the word. But during worship, your soul also gets restored on a different level. As human beings, we're made in the image of God. And God is so, has so many different sides to Him. Amen. And we have so many different sides. And so many different places are being hurt in our life. Especially our soul. It gets drained during the week. And a lot of times I just can't wait to come to Sunday service so I can get my soul restored. Through the service, through worship, through the Word of God, our soul is restored. Our soul is restored through thanksgiving. So let's open to Romans 1:21. This talks about the mental health of humanity and why it's so whack. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God and give thanks. But they became futile in their minds, and their foolish minds was darkened and confused. If you read farther, it says God gave him over to debased mind. Why is it that people lose their mental health? Why do people become mentally sick? And there are some people here mentally sick. Everybody is a little bit, has some mental, because we all get drained. We live in the world. We get beat up emotionally. Our emotions, our mind gets beat up. And listen to what Bible says. Listen to what Paul says. The reason there are so many mental illnesses in the world, and it shouldn't be in Christians, because even though they knew God, they did not glorify Him or gave Him thanks. But they became futile in the speculations of their mind, and their foolish minds were darkened and confused. And God gave them over, Paul says, to debased mind. So they began to do crazy things. Then it says homosexuality. It says drunkenness, adultery, and on and on. It just begins, starts naming a whole bunch of things. Well, what is the reason? Notice that the Bible doesn't say it's sin that makes their mind crazy. But because they knew God and didn't honor Him as God. Did you know that we were created for the glory of God? Did you know that God does everything to show His glory in the earth? The greatest thing that God cherishes in this earth and from the human being is for us to give Him glory. If we don't do that, something else happens in our mind. If our minds are not concentrated on giving glory to God, on giving thanks to God, our minds go crazy. Bible says God gives them over. God allows your mind. The older you get to recognize that your mind has its own issues. Your mind begins to think a certain way. And maybe you don't want it to think a certain way, but it does. And it's almost you're looking at yourself from the side and you're like, why am I acting like this? Why am I doing this? See, it's your mind, it's your soul already taking over. And the older you get, if you don't make your mind healthy, renewed with the Word of God, filled with the oil of anointing, with the Word of God, it starts running crazy. It starts running away from you. One tool of, if you want to keep your mind sane, is giving honor to God and giving Him thanks. It won't work unless you focus glory and thanks to the right direction. If you just say, I wake up in the morning, and many psychologists do teach this. They say, when you get up in the morning, you put one foot, say thank you, and then go to the shower, say thank you, thank you. That's what psychologists teach today. You can be just giving thanks to, like they say, the universe. Just giving thanks so you can feel better. I believe that will work, but that will not fix your mind completely. It will work somewhat. It will give you a good mental attitude. But there is something more. Because they knew God, they did not glorify Him or gave Him thanks as God. God gave Him over. God allowed them to have mental illnesses. Let's put two things together. Let's put the puzzle together, okay? We live in the richest country in the world. We got everything. If we didn't have much, we wouldn't be accountable for giving God thanks for as much. So we wouldn't have as many mental illnesses because we don't have that much. But on average, every person who lives in America is almost a rich person compared to the people in other countries in the world. If we didn't have much, then we wouldn't have to give God the glory as much. So we wouldn't be sick as much, mentally ill. But since we have so much, and we don't give glory to God, God says, if you don't give me glory for just me, at least give me glory for what I give you. You have a comfortable life. You have a roof over your head. You have cable TV. You have a car. You have everything you need. If you don't want to give glory just to me because who I am, at least give me glory for what you have. Because all things from me, right? Too much stuff, too much mental illness, because God says, if you don't give me thanks, I'll give your mind. If your mind is screwed up, then what's next? Your body. That's why they started committing acts, Bible says. You see why it's important to give God thanks? You see why worship service is so important when we come and just worship God? Hallelujah. Thanksgiving is a commandment of God. It's not only that we should give thanks so we feel better. You should do it at least for that. But thanksgiving is a commandment. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says this, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So God's will for you in Christ Jesus, the commandment, is in everything give thanks. Why does God give us a commandment? Notice that God doesn't give us a commandment so it would please Him so much. Open to Isaiah 48, 18. Oh, that you had heed my commandments. Then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Let's read 17. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit. So the reason God gives you a commandment, to profit. And then He said, who leads you in a way that you should go. Not for Himself, but for our sake. Oh, that you would heed my commandments, God says. Then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Oh, hallelujah. In all things, in everything, give thanks. Because it is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. I have heard a study. This psychologist doctor, he was a recommending Christian doctor. He did a study. He took some people and he said to one group of people, he said, before you go to bed, take a journal and write 5 things you're thankful for. And then he said to the other group of people, he said, write down 5 things that went wrong. And what he said was that the level of joy, the level of life, the level of just everything in blood pressure and healthiness in the body of the people who wrote 5 good things before they went to bed that they're thankful for. Even little things were way higher. People who wrote the things that they were not thankful for were depressed. They were stressed the next day. Their bodies were higher blood pressure. I'm not sure exactly everything that he said, but he said a lot of things. The people who wrote five good things every day had a better mental attitude in everything. So what I recommend today, get yourself a journal, because we're going to be a happy church. All right, we're not going to be mentally sick church. Then we come to God and say, cast the demon out of me. You come to pastor and say, cast the demon. It's not a demon. You're just drained. You're just sick emotionally. You need rest. You need meditation in the Word of God. The older you get, the more you need it. Because you can start focusing. And let me tell you guys, you would think that you would make a lot of money. Some of you right now think, if I would make a lot of money, I would be so much happier. That's the farthest from the truth. You can make a lot of money and be miserable. And especially, like I said, if you're an overachiever, it'll never be enough. And so you'll always be depressed. You'll always be stressed and snappy. You'll always be, because it's never enough. And always being depressed and always being negative and always being unhappy. Bible says, in all things, give thanks. So Jesus said, if you would heed to my commandments, if you listen to my commandments, if you obey my commandments, your peace would be like a river. Meaning flowing, never stopping. It wouldn't be like lake, dry area, lake. No, it won't be. That's how some of your lives are. You live between pond and pond. Every Sunday you come to church and that's a pond. You get a little bit of rest. And then next week you go in the desert. That's how some Christians are. They just live between pond and a week goes by and another pond, a few miles, another pond. Bible says your peace would be like a river. You would have a continual mental health. The more you grow, the more you make money and you recognize that peace is better than $1 million. Peace is better than making a lots of money and driving good cars or whatever. Peace is better. The power of thanks. One, we know that if you don't give thanks to God, God will give your mind over. That's one. But God wants better for His children. God wants us to live a life in abundance. And I'm talking everything. When I talk life, prosperity, guys, I don't mean money anymore. Not for me anyway. When I'm talking about prosperity, I don't mean money anymore. Number one is that peace was with God. Peace with yourself. And then when you have that inside, you have it around you. When you don't have it inside of you, everybody around you pays. If mama is not happy, nobody's happy. If father is not happy, nobody's happy. And the reason we're not happy, because we don't look and give God thanks and what He already gave us. God says, give thanks in all things. Did you know that every prayer of Jesus, almost every prayer of Jesus started with thanks. He gave thanks, broke the bread, and gave thanks. Hallelujah. Mark 8:6. And He directed the people to sit down on the ground. And taking the 7 loaves, He gave thanks. Do you remember when He was about to raise Lazarus from the dead? He said, thank you, Father, that you have heard me. And I always knew you would hear me. But I pray for these people. Do you know that Jesus, even in the toughest moments and for the toughest trials in His life, He gave thanks. And He had taken the cup and gave thanks. Now, what does the cup mean for us? For us, the cup is His suffering, not ours. What did the cup mean for Jesus? That was His suffering He was drinking. That was a symbol of His suffering. He knew what He was doing. And yet, He didn't say, Father, I'll make it easier. No, He took the cup and gave thanks. The interesting thing that I've learned about this message, about David, that almost in every psalm that he writes, in the book of Psalms, he says, give thanks unto the Lord for His loving kindness. Most of all, it's for His loving kindness. Now, why would David say so much, give thanks unto the Lord? Because he found out a secret to his mental health. David had troubles like nobody here. David was going through troubles. His children were rising against him. Saul was persecuting him. From the day he was born, he had troubles. His father forgot him on a field. Some people say that David was born out of a concubine of Jesse. So meaning he was illegitimate. You don't hear David mentioning his mother and father in a good way. He only says about his father, if my father and mother will forsake me, you will never forsake me. Studying the life of David, or at least reading the scriptures, you understand that David felt forsaken by his father and mother. But there's one character over 100 times in Book of Psalms, we observe that David says, give thanks unto the Lord for his loving kindness. Hallelujah. If you don't have nothing to give thanks to God for, at least give thanks to God for his loving kindness. From that, I recognize or I perceive that David was romantic, or he was a softy in certain area. He needed that loving kindness. Why would he say so many times, give thanks unto the Lord for his loving kindness? Because David experienced, and the most valuable thing in God for David was his loving kindness. And that's why we should be like God. He's loving kind to us. We should be love and kind to the people. There is no excuse for us to be rude and mean. Listen, there's no excuse for husbands to be rude and mean to their wives. And I know it happens, but there's no excuse. And wives to be rude to their husbands, there's no excuse. There's no excuse for you to be rude to one another. Kindness. That's the character of our God. And David says, I give thanks for your love and kindness. I will give thanks to the Lord according to his righteousness. And I will sing praises to the name of the Lord Most High. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. Therefore, I will give thanks to you among the nations, O Lord. And I will sing praises to your name. Sing praises to the Lord, you his godly ones. And give thanks to his holy name. Jesus said a certain phrase. More will be given. To him who does not have, whatever he has shall be taken away from him. Well, that doesn't sound promising to poor people. If you have financial struggles, and all of us do sometimes, that doesn't sound really promising. So, I don't think that's what it means though. I didn't like this scripture because when I thought about certain areas in my life, what I needed, God's addition, and I felt like, it's not right, Lord. It's just no good. But today I saw it in a new light. If you recognize the little that you have, if you recognize that you have little, it doesn't have to be much. To him, more will be given. But to him who doesn't have, and who establishes if a person has or doesn't have? Does my neighbor establish if I have or don't have? Does your family establish if you have or don't have? What establishes if a person has or does not have? It's the person himself or herself. So if you only recognize something little that you have and thank God for it, more will be added unto you. But if you're always saying, I don't have, that's who God sees you like, because that's what you say about yourself. And Bible says, Jesus said, this is Jesus. This is not Paul. This is the nice, loving Jesus. It says, if you recognize that you don't have, it will be taken away. How thanking is important to your prosperity. And God delights. God's pleasure is for prosperity of his people. We're going to pray pretty soon. I'm going to ask. Bible says only you can give what you have. Peter and John says, what we have, we give. I need it. I don't have a house like I want. I don't have a car like I want. I don't have friends like I want. I don't have health. I don't have husband or wife. I don't have children like I want. I don't have money like I want. Bible says focus. Give thanks for everything. It's just the attitude. Jesus said, whenever you pray, believe that you have received. You don't have anything, but if you have it here, you shall have it. So if you don't have anything, but then you have a heart like you do have everything. Jesus said, more will be added unto you. But if you have everything, and in your heart or in your mind, You act like you broke and always nothing is good enough. Everything is bad. Then Jesus said, everything will be taken away from you. Paul says, because they knew God, but they didn't give Him thanks, God gave them over. And their minds became crazy. And that's why a lot of people, mind has to do with our emotions, our soul, right? With our heart. Oh, how we need healing.